Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Village Board meeting. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll call our meeting to order. We'll call Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Green.
Here.
And Trustee Deutsch.
Here.
And Trustees Genrich and Sampson are excused. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt as presented.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? We have a motion to adopt the agenda as presented. And the second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Chris, you want to talk about the comprehensive parks meetings?
Sure. We are updating our comprehensive outdoor rec plan this year, and we have two public input meetings coming up next week. On Monday, the 26th at 5:30 at Greenow Park Pavilion. That's an in-person meeting. And then on Thursday, we will have a virtual meeting, same thing, but just virtual Zoom meeting, and that will begin at 6 o'clock. And the link for that meeting is up there. You can click on it, though, on any of our social media websites or our website.
Okay. Yeah, you can't click on that.
No, not this one.
Thank you. Item 3B, 2022 budget schedule. The budget season is upon us, and the budget schedule is as follows. Tuesday, July 13th, the budget worksheets distributed to department heads to begin the budget preparation. Tuesday, August 10th, budget worksheets returned to finance director for review and preparation of budget. Monday, September 13th, high-level budget discussion with the finance personnel ad hoc committee. Monday, the 27th, high-level budget discussion with the finance personnel ad hoc committee. Friday, October 1st, department head meetings with administrator and village president. Friday, October 8th, budget books distributed to village board and department heads. Budget workshops are Monday, October 18th at 5 p.m. right here in Village Hall. And Wednesday, October 20th at 5 p.m. if we haven't finished our business on Monday. Then on Monday, November 1st, assuming everything goes well, we will publish the budget. And we will have a budget hearing on November 16th at 6:30. And are we still on target? Okey-dokey. Item 3C, National Night Out on August 3rd from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Willow Creek Park. National Night Out is an annual community building campaign that promotes police community partnerships and neighborhood camaraderie to make our neighborhoods safer, better places to live. Join Brown County Sheriff's Department, the villages of Bellevue and Alloway, and many other community-minded organizations for a night of fun and festivities. Activities include archery, obstacle course, bounce house, canine unit, and more. At the end, we'll have Movie in the Park featuring Tom and Jerry. The movie starts at dusk. Another Movie in the Park. Item 3D, Movie in the Park in the Village of Alloway on August 13th. It is a Friday, and the movie is going to be Sonic the Hedgehog. It is a free, family-friendly event at Green Isle Park. The movie starts at dusk. Bring your family out for a movie under the stars. Don't forget a blanket or chairs for seating. Due to COVID, we won't have any concessions. Any other announcements from my fellow trustees? Any announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 4, public comment. I know, I'm guessing there are a few of us here tonight interested in the yard waste site. Is that correct? How many hands? Okie doke. We have to talk about that at every meeting. We have a, get a great group of people coming to our meetings. So I'm going to postpone any discussion on that until the next meeting. Just kidding. Just kidding. Is there anyone, we'll get to that portion when we get to it. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Come on up. And if you could give us your name and address, please.
Sure. I'm Mary Miller, and 737 Green Avenue. And I'm here to talk about an issue that our neighbor that was behind us on Green Valley, a pigeon permit last fall. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to come and we weren't aware that this was happening, so I'd like to give our input on it.
Okay.
I'm talking to Trevor today. I understand you have 50 birds. And I just want to express that that's a lot. Our lot line backs up his lot line, and he has three coops coming up with a fence, and they all sit on these coops on the roofs. Sometimes they sit up on our trees, sometimes they sit on our roof, sometimes they sit on the neighbor's roof. I go in my backyard, I can hear them, and I can see them, obviously, I can sometimes smell them. Depending on where I go in my yard, if I like freak them out, and they all jump up and fly. They fly over right at our house, our neighbor's house. They go over our house, real low. They fly around our yard. Sometimes they fly into our house. They hit our patio doors, our windows. I have a dead. I have hawks eating them up in my trees. I had a skunk last year, sprayed my dog in the backyard. The other day, I thought I saw a coyote running away with one. So it's just a lot. I think 50 is a lot of birds that are pretty much the size of a chicken. I know there's a limit to 4 chickens in LA per lot, and I have 50 plus right now in the backyard. So even when I'm in a house with my windows open, I can hear them because they coo all the time. They never stop cooing on the pigeons. I have standing water now in my backyard. I've lived in the house for 30 years. The one corner of our lot has always been moist after a large rain. Okay, but the last couple of years since he's built these coops, and now I have standing water after a large rain, and I'm getting runoff from their yard. Pigeons carry disease. I don't appreciate having that many birds and the runoff in my yard. I like the number vastly limited.
Okay.
And not so close.
Okay, so it's right up to your lot line?
Yes, sir. Okay. And I love animals and stuff, but it's just they're always there. I feel like I should be over in my backyard and feel relaxed, and they're just always there. Okay. And sometimes, they fly loose, so I mean they're not always all 50 when they're always there. The numbers kind of go up and down, but they're not contained to his yard.
Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We weren't aware of that.
Okay. And Trevor's very nice to talk to.
He fooled you.
So he suggested I come here and address the issue with you.
I appreciate that. Thanks for coming, and we'll work with Trevor and staff on that.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for coming. Is there anyone who would like to speak on something else that's not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will close the public comment and move on to item 5 under old business, discussion action regarding authorization to contract for ash tree removal. Mr. Clark.
Yes, we've been discussing this item for the last couple of months at the board meeting. I did go out to get estimates for the removal of the trees, as we had talked about, the dead ash trees north of Highway 172 and our forest management units 1 through 5. At that time, we had in our tree inventory had anticipated approximately 115 or so ash trees. Upon field verification, pleasantly, we only found 85 that need to be removed at this time. For a variety of different reasons, You know, some of the species of ash, the white ash, are not being affected as quickly as the green ash, which is good. So that gives us a little bit more time. As well as some of the residents have taken it upon themselves to treat the ash trees that are along the street. So we have a few of them that are being treated and surviving and doing quite well. So with that, we had 85 trees put out for to get quotes from 12 different companies. I placed a tabulation of the quotes that we received back on your up by your seats there, including a cost estimate for our village staff to do the work. They had approached us whether they could possibly do that work on their day off on either Friday or Saturday. Our staff works Monday through Thursday, but to do that work on overtime. So we put together a cost estimate for them to do that work, including equipment costs and materials and things like such as that. So that's included on that tabulation as well. From the companies that we got cost estimates back, Trios Tree Service came back at the lowest cost estimate, as you can see. And we had separated the estimates into three different, one being management units 1, 3, 4, and 5, and then a different one, quote B, was for management unit 2, and management unit 2 is west of Webster. Everything else would be east of Webster. And then quote C is for the stump removal and landscape restoration. So Trios Tree Service came in at the lowest estimate. Quote A was $12,782. Quote B was $13,004. Quote C was $10,944 for a total of $36,730. As I told the board at a previous meeting, we have monies in our current budget to be able to do some of this work, and actually that number is $38,000. So this quote that we received from Trios is under that number.
How is it that Trios came in so much lower than the other?
I believe it's the methods that they use, as well as the equipment that they have. They did. This company also has the contract to do the tree removals in Ashwaubenon. They were a little bidder over there. He has big grinders that he brings in and stockpiles of the material and grinds it. He's very efficient, I guess.
So he's a known entity. Have we ever worked with him?
We have not. We have not. But like I said, he is currently working in Ashwaubenon. And I did speak with Forrester over there, and they've had no issues. I also spoke with the owner of Trios, and he is, within the next few weeks to a month, going to be wrapping up in Ashwaubenon until the ground freezes that he can get in the parks. So he would be able to start our work, if awarded, within the next month.
And his bids are not to exceed?
Chris, you said the quotes for village staff also included equipment?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Detail that for me.
Well, the usage of the equipment. So, you know, we did labor, materials and supplies, such as topsoil, seed, things like that for the sump crane, and then equipment. So our hourly cost for bucket truck usage, or hourly cost for a loader, those type of things.
But this is all equipment that we presently own?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And and those equipment charges, fees, get charged to our equipment replacement fund.
Okay. Roughly how many dollars does that amount to?
Mm-hmm. $8,500.
So we back that out of the equation. The Village of Alloy's staff is actually the lowest bidder.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And it's, we'll assume it's normal wear and tear on the machinery anyway?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
For all our processes that we use, whether it's garbage collection, code enforcement, any of our vehicles, we track the hours in order to replenish the equipment replacement. So that's something I would not want to remove from that aspect.
So they really are real dollars?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony.
Chris, does the Trio's bid include reseeding?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know how else. Do they guarantee the reseeding, so to speak? I know there can be issues with the stump removal and all of the wood chips or flakes, whatever you want to phrase them as, and that being a detriment to the seed taking. So I don't know if that's something we'll just have to work through, knowing that some will take, some won't, or do they guarantee it?
Right. I think it's something we'll have to work through. What I've found in my experience is with reseeding and restoration projects, lack of water more than anything.
Okay.
That becomes an issue with that seed germinating and growing.
Okay. And then also, I know that Ashwamedham is comfortable with their services, could we also just verify the insurance levels if Trio is determined to be the vendor that we go with?
Yes, we did request
a
certificate
of
insurance.
Was that part of the process in terms of bidding?
Okay. Yes, and we received a certificate of insurance from them.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Just one, Chris. What's the enthusiasm of the staff for doing this? I mean, is there a level that... Is this something that they really want to do? I mean, it's a great opportunity.
I believe so. They approached us, and you know, when we discussed the possibility of contracting this work out, and they enjoy doing that type of work, and they'd like to keep the work in house if at all possible. But they also understand it's got to be cost effective for the village. So you know, they, like I said, they approached us, and they were willing to do that for the village.
Is that cost not to exceed? Are we guaranteed that the cost will not exceed that number?
The village staff cost?
Yep.
I cannot guarantee that one.
Okay.
We are currently in the processes of our other tree removals. Our staff is tracking all of the data so that we can get better numbers in the future for that purpose.
Okay, any other questions for Chris? I will accept the motion on this item.
You know, I'll throw a motion out there to award the bid to the village staff. If you've got people in the village that are employees of the village that want to earn the extra income, I say we do it. I mean, there's $8,500 in hard costs, yes, and that has to be accounted for, but that's also going to be applied, you know, throughout. So, yes, real dollars, but... It's not like we're writing a check for it. We have the equipment. We have a beautiful new boom truck. We have a stump grinder. We have it all. We've got the staff that wants to do it. Let's do it for the morale of the staff.
Do we think it would be a good thing for the morale or a bad?
Well, I think it's a good thing because they're asking.
Well, we have $38,000 in the budget for it.
Correct.
So how do, if we were to do that, well... Actually, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I have a question.
We'll get to the question.
Second for discussion purposes.
Thank you. Matthew has a second. Question.
Yeah, so here's where, with insurance and everything else, one comp claim, one piece of equipment breaking, one... So I was very specific about Trios, about not to exceed, and I like that their insurance covers it, and there's nothing against our staff, but what I see about people who do sustained overtime is then we see burnout go. So I agree, they're asking for it, great, but how do we manage the costs with that and still give the staff what they need? So I just, the balancing act there.
Yeah, something to consider.
That's a hard one.
Any other thoughts?
What about the option of taking quote or unit 2 and have that done by staff and units 1, 3, 4, and 5 being done by the vendor, a chosen vendor? That way there is some where the village staff does get to earn the extra money. It's their idea, maybe able to get their efficiencies enhanced by doing that. But it's not the larger task of all 85 chairs.
I would ask for Chris's input on that. What's your feeling?
Yeah, that's a possibility. That was one of the reasons why I separated the quotes the way I did, to give us that option if we wanted to have staff do a portion of it and have a contractor do a portion of it. Yeah, like I said, that's an option. I guess I would ask, you know, the board to take a look at the numbers and decide which one they would want to have staff do, you know, from a cost-effective standpoint, if you so wish to go that route.
The difference between 1, 3, 4, 5, and 2 is about 2150 and 2500. If we did go that route, though, with using some of TRIO and some of village staff, the 36.7 becomes about 38.8. So we'd be less than $1,000 over our budgeted figure and get to balance the two options.
What you think, Trustee Atwood?
Yeah, that'd be close. I was doing the math in my head. Yeah. It balances out. Is that going to appease staff, or is that something that they're going to say, hey, we're happy to do it?
I think they'd be happy to do it. You know, either way, you know, if they get some or if they got it all, to be able to do it. So, kind of goes back to Lynn's comment of, you know, if they only did a portion of it, maybe they wouldn't burn out, or we hope that they wouldn't burn out anyway, you know, from working that much. So.
Okay. One other question for discussion on that. When you say village staff, that includes if Carrie wants to go out there and cut some trees, she can volunteer to do it? I want to make sure it's open to everybody,
correct,
not just one department.
Correct.
You can't.
But, yeah. We got to make sure they're qualified to do that.
Right.
Work.
So, I mean,
it
could be street department, could be parks,
correct,
department.
Correct.
Everybody can volunteer.
Yes.
Well,
as long as we deem that they're qualified to
okay.
do that work. Yeah.
All right. So you want to modify the motion?
Would you?
Matthew?
Matthew?
Could we, before the modification of a motion takes place, Chris, do you have a recommendation on which section would be more appropriate for one as opposed to the other with outside vendor in terms of our internal staff, or is it 601, half a dozen to the other?
I would recommend having a contractor do quote B and village staff do quote A, which is units 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
And then, just to clarify, then the contractor would also do quote C?
B and C.
Yes, B and C. Right, Matthew? You have nothing? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take an attempt at this modified motion. So.
Okay.
I would move to approve that TRIO tree service be awarded quote B and C, and village staff be awarded quote A.
Second.
for sections 1, 3, 4, and 5.
So who's the second? You were the second?
Yes. Yes.
And another second. We have a motion to approve Trio C's tree service for $13,004 for removal of trees in Unit 2, and the stumps for a value of $10,944, and to award quote A for tree removal in Units 1, 3, 4, and 5 to staff for a value of $13,925. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 6, discussion action regarding LeBron joint waste yard waste site feasibility study with the Village of De Pere. Do you want to give a quick overview?
Sure, I can. Carver pulled up the concept plan that we had just recently completed. We had been approached by the Village of, or, I'm sorry, City of De Pere about the possibility of sharing, jointly operating yard waste site with De Pere and Ledgeview. This was the first step of many that would be required to move forward with such a project. We wanted to, the main purpose of this was to look to make sure there was enough space at our current yard waste site, existing yard is roughly speaking 21 acres in size, some of which is wetland areas and located in the floodplain. We had looked at the area, worked with the Pier and Ledgeview to come up with an area that we would need for a joint yard waste site, and at the same time continue to be able to operate our public works and parks department out of the same space. We determined that, roughly speaking, we would need about 3.5 acres for a joint site. Currently, our residential drop-off area and storage behind is roughly about an acre in size. We have a 3/10 of an acre drop-off site with about, roughly speaking, 7/10 of an acre behind that for storage. This would be, roughly speaking, 4 times that size. On the screen here is the concept plan showing the yard waste site. The drop-off site would, the yard waste drop-off site would get much bigger. It would be expanded north and east to accommodate the additional material. Behind that, there would be, roughly speaking, about 2 acres for storage. On a weekly or daily basis, depending on time of year, material would get moved from the yard waste site to the area in the back, which is this area right here. Should point out that there were many improvements being proposed for the site, one being it being paved. The entire yard waste site would get paved with asphalt. There would be stormwater drainage features such as storm sewer, swales, and a wet detention pond to store and treat stormwater. There would be fencing around the entire site. There would be new gates. There would be lighting along with security cameras. The drive aisle here, one would enter here and drive through using this drive aisle to drop off the yard waste. The drive aisle itself would be, roughly speaking, about 46 feet wide, about 4 lanes in width. There would be, to add to the aesthetics of this, so to speak, would be a berm here. This area here would be divided from the storage behind it with concrete block. There'd be block place to direct people to where to place what. She also mentioned that this study included delineation of the wetland areas on site, It also had identified where the biggest flood fringe is located, and that's this line here. We had looked at traffic. The pier this spring had counted the number of vehicles coming and going from their site, and during the peak season they had, roughly speaking, anywhere from 2 to 200 vehicles a day. During the peak season in Alloway, we have, roughly speaking, about 100. So the projected peak traffic, daily traffic, would be somewhere between 300 and 350 vehicles a day. Just for comparison's sake, the local residential street has anywhere from 400 to 600 vehicles a day. So a little bit less than what you'd see in your neighborhood at the peak of the season. We had looked at the construction cost of this. Roughly speaking, to mitigate for the area that the village would lose to this site, which would be over here, this area would be improved so that we could continue to operate our parks and public works functions out of here. The cost to construct this site here altogether would be about $900,000. And the pier and Ledgeview had indicated that they would pick up the expense for that. We had also, during the process, we had looked at how do we continue to provide safe pedestrian and bicyclist facilities along the run. And we had looked at what would be needed to build a sidewalk along the south side of LeBron outside of the paved roadway. And the cost to do that was, roughly speaking, about $150,000. And that would be a shared cost. If we were to move forward with this project, that would be a shared cost amongst the three communities. Some of the other potential impacts that we've been made aware of, that we've looked into, one, I heard talk about traffic, pedestrian safety would be handled with a sidewalk or a path on the south side of LeBron within the right of way. Noise, yes, this joint venture would probably result in more noise compared with the current site. Dust, we've heard that this existing site does generate a lot of dust. I would think that with the paving of 4 acres that would cut down on the dust in the area. Environmental impacts. We would handle handle store and treat stormwater with wet detention basin here. Loss of property value, I can't speak to that. Smell, I don't know if that would get any better or get any worse with this. Right now, we currently, beginning every week, we move what has been dropped off over the weekend, and we temporarily stockpile it behind the airway site. We hold that material until it reaches a certain volume, and then we truck it away. And typically, we do that within 20 to 30 days. With a larger facility, we'd have to do it more often because we'd have more material. So I can't, I don't know that it'd get any worse. I don't know that it'd get any better. Some of the pros for this joint project would be that we would share the operational cost with two other communities. We've looked at the numbers, and it appears that we would save some money. The village would save some money with the shared site. It would reduce the possibility that non-residents are currently using our site, and we know that people are. We know that people from the pier and Ledgeview are currently using it. So, again, another way to collaborate with our neighbors to lower operational costs and reduce redundancy. Improved site would add amenities such as the paving that would cut down on dust, improve the lighting, improve our security system. And then final pro would be the construction of a path or a sidewalk to get pedestrians and bikers safely from the neighborhoods from the south, west, and north of the site to YZ Park and the East River Trail. Do want to also mention real quick that this was taken to the Public Works Committee last week, Wednesday, and a recommendation was made to the Village Board not to proceed with this joint project.
And the De Pere Public Works Committee voted 2-2, so that motion failed as well.
Right.
And has it gone to the City Council?
It will be at 7:30 tonight.
So we can beat them to the punch. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Sean? Okay, I'll start the ball off. I'd like to make a motion to not proceed with this project. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Green. Discussion. The reason I say no, first of all, we talked about it at Public Works that collaborating with our neighboring communities is terribly important to the success of all of us. And it's our job to listen to proposals and weigh the pros and cons and ultimately come up with hopefully the right decision. I thank De Pere and Ledgerview for coming forward and making that proposal and working with our staff to hopefully come up with a good solution. But in the end, I think for the number of concerns that Sean raised and really just trying to squeeze too much into a small parcel, I don't think it's a good idea to move forward. And instead of elongating the process and looking into it further and costing all the villages and, well, De Pere, Ledgerview, and Alloway more money to probably come up to the same conclusion, I just recommend we end it. Any other discussion?
Just anybody who's ever sat at the De Pere Ledgerview site and watched it at peak, trying to imagine that much traffic going up and down a one road, and I'm with you. I think it's too much crammed into one site.
I will also say the reason that I made the motion in the first place is because of you. You came out. You were very respectful of everyone. And we really appreciate you coming out, being respectful to your community, caring about your community, and joining the process. Part of this deal is you have to keep coming back to our meetings. Okay, any other comments, questions, ideas?
At a minimum, instead of having come back every month, at least get them to sign up for the Alloway Buzz so they're more aware of things going on. Yeah.
Yes. So whether you live in Alloway or De Pere, sign up for the Alloway newsletter. It's always good. Okay, I have a motion to not move forward with this project in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, everyone. And to quote a very eloquent spokesman for the group, just because you can doesn't mean you should. No, thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Item number 7, discussion action regarding Doty Safe Routes to School preliminary plan. Folks, I'd ask that you quietly depart if you're going to depart. You can talk outside, please. Wow. Thank you. Okay, Sean, to you, sir.
Preliminary plans for the Doty Safe Roads School sidewalk project has been completed. Real quick recap of what we're proposing, shown on this tile sheet here. We're proposing a new 5-foot concrete sidewalk on the north side of Longview Avenue from Doty Elementary School east to East River Drive, and a new concrete sidewalk along the west side of East River Drive from LeBron North to Hoffman. What about the next sheet, Trevor? These are most typical sections for the sidewalk project. East River Drive, there will be a 6-foot terrace and a 5-foot walk. And that, for the most part, is fairly consistent. There are some locations where we push a sidewalk out or bump it in to avoid impacts to trees and to work around utilities. On Longview Avenue, same section. For the most part, 6-foot terrace, 5-foot concrete sidewalk. I don't know that I'll go through every plant profile sheet, but this is a plant profile sheet showing the sidewalk at the intersection of Hoffman Road and East River Drive. This here is the existing curb and gutter. This is the sidewalk right here. I can hold that steady. That would be the terrace area. This dashed line located along the sidewalk is what we call the slope intercept, where the grading from the back of the sidewalk would intercept the existing ground or existing driveways. That line right here is the existing right-of-way line. You should note that, that the concrete sidewalk is being constructed in the street right-of-way. The light dashed line here represents a temporary level of easement, and right here, what we're depicting here is the construction of the driveway, reconstruction of the driveways in conflict with the sidewalk. In this area here, for constructability purposes, to provide a gentle transition from the back edge of the sidewalk outward into the driveway, we're proposing a temporary limit easement to do exactly what I just indicated. A temporary limited easement is a temporary interest in land to construct the driveway here. If you can go to the next sheet, Trevor. In this area here, there are two large utility poles that we're going to go between. They're located north of East Briar Lane and south of Hoffman. Go through between the two poles, and then we get back to the typical section, which is a 6-foot terrace, 5-foot concrete sidewalk. In this area here, a temporary limited easement is needed at the apartment complex for landscaping and driveway construction purposes. Just south of the apartment complex, just north of East Briar Lane, we will need a permanent limited easement to install and maintain, one, to install a drainage structure and to maintain that years to come right here. This would be the permanent limited easement, and associated with that would be a temporary limited easement for constructability. Go to the next sheet. That's East Briar Lane. You can keep going. You can go much the same. 6-foot terrace, 5-foot concrete sidewalk. You should point out that we had walked, Chris and I, along with the JT Engineering, Rich Glenn, we had walked the project the last fall. We looked at the trees. In total, there were 14 trees that needed to be removed. And a large majority of those were not in the best health.
There were a lot of the ash that were dying anyway.
Yeah. These axes here represent those trees that are in conflict with the sidewalk that need to be removed. In this area here, at Longview Avenue Extended, what we'd like to do here is close this existing intersection type opening at Longview Avenue Trail. We'd like to realign the trail to better align with the curb ramp, this northwest quadrant. If you want to keep going down right here, This would be south of Longview Avenue. We're going to bump the walk in 1 foot. We'll have a 5 foot terrace. We're moving the sidewalk in to avoid three trees here. I believe those were maple. If you want to keep going. Keep going. This would be the south limits of the sidewalk construction on East River Drive. This location here would be connecting to the Pierce existing sidewalk. It would require that we construct two curb ramps to not only connect to the existing sidewalk here, but to provide a crossing to the other side to connect to sidewalk located on the east side of East River Drive and the pier. With this improvement here, we have to move some existing storm inlets back so that we can maintain the desired section in this area. One on the next sheet. This is Longview Avenue, sidewalk on the north side. Same design practices apply here. 6 foot terrace, 5 foot concrete sidewalk. On the north side of Longview Avenue from East River Drive to where we tie into the sidewalk at the Doty Elementary School, we'll need temporary limited easements from East River Drive all the way to the school for grading and driveway construction purposes. In this particular case, we need a temporary limited easement to put back a service walk. TLE is needed here to provide a gentle transition from the back side of the sidewalk outward into the driveways here, much the same to the west. Right here we have two curb ramps, type 3 to be specific, to connect an existing walkway located on the south side to the proposed sidewalk on the north side. Terrace sidewalk, temporary limited easements for grading and driveway purposes. Going Trevor. This is where we tie into the existing sidewalk at Doty, at the west end of the project here. Any questions on the preliminary plans for the sidewalk project?
Are we replacing all the trees we're taking out?
For the most part, yes. Yes, we will provide that option to the property owners. And because of the width of some of the terrace areas, we may put them still within the right of way, but on the back side of the sidewalk to give them better rooting capabilities.
So we don't put snow on them, and people don't hit their trunks. And then the grading on the residential side, we're not doing anything and the reason I'm so worried about trees, we're Tree City USA for like ever, and our ash trees, it's just so, if there are any big trees that are within that, are we going to give them a wide berth so they have a hope of saving those?
Yeah, there will be, and we're going to do our best, we did our best to avoid impacts of trees, so there'll be in some cases the need to cuts and roots, and we'll require that the contractor cut those before they pull any out. But that we have on every project.
And are we actually going to monitor what they're doing with piling things in root zones? Because, I mean, that's the other thing is if there's not something up to protect at least somewhat of a root zone, people don't think about the roots underneath the ground.
For the most part, the grading for this project is limited because of the topography is fairly flat. There aren't any large fills or big cuts associated with this project. We're going to be coming up from the back of the curve at roughly 2-4%, and then the sidewalk itself will have a 1.5% slope on that, and then at the back edge of the sidewalk, then we'll be gently transitioning into the existing topography Yes, we do have to do some grading to prepare the foundation for the sidewalk, but in general, the section for the sidewalk itself is minimal. It's four inches of base and 4 inches of concrete.
Yeah, and Lynn, to answer your question about the grading around trees, like Sean said, the topography there is very minimal, so there's not going to be a lot of fill that would go around any of the roots as they re-landscape and restore afterwards.
And the contractors know not to pile things under the trees? Because, I mean, that's the other thing I see is, you know, if you're looking at that soil compaction because
people
build stuff and they just stick stuff there, just and not thinking about it because it's not visible.
I believe we do have inspectors that are out there daily, so you know we'll make sure that those type of things don't happen.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? I will accept the motion on this item. Yes, Brad.
The Public Works Committee recommended to the Village Board to move forward to accept the preliminary plans.
Thank you.
I would move to approve as presented.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Green.
Thank you.
Any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 8, discussion regarding Doty S. Safe Routes to School real estate acquisition.
So from the preliminary design, we were able to determine the temporary limited easements that were needed for this project, along with the permanent limited easements required to install the storm inlet. All together, we need 14 temporary limited easements and 2 permanent limited easements for grading purposes, driveway construction, and drainage purposes. In front of you on the screen there is the Redwood plat that was prepared by JD Engineering for the permanent limited easements required for the construction of a storm inlet. That storm inlet would be located outside of the existing right-of-way. And it would serve the existing drainage in that area. In that area, there is an existing swale that is located below the back curb. There is an inlet there now, but it's within the right-of-way. In order to build the desired section there with terrace and sidewalk, we've had to move that inlet back outside of the right-of-way and the need for permanent limited easement. Also shown in that exhibit are 2 temporary limited easements, and that is just for grading and constructability purposes. If you want to go to the next sheet. In total, there are 6 temporary limited easement exhibits, and we'll go through every one, but here's sheet number 1 showing the limits of the temporary limited easements in that area there, and that's at the corner of Longview and East River Drive. With your approval tonight, the permanent limited easements and temporary limited easements will be filed at the Brown County Clerk's Office. With us tonight, I have Randy Moss Associates, who will be assisting the village with the real estate acquisition. He can answer any questions you may have on the acquisition under this item and on the following and next item on the agenda. So, any questions on this?
No. I don't. Doesn't look like it. Not right now. Thank you. I will accept the motion on this item.
Move to approve.
Trustee Atwood, do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion?
We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 9, discussion action regarding Doty Safe Routes to School nominal offer for purchase of real estate easements. Sean.
So what's the filing of the PLEs and permanent easements that we need? We're going to soon begin the negotiation process with the impacted property owners. And that's when Randy will get involved and follow a fairly strict process set forth by the state DOT. We're to hopefully expedite and to make this process go a little bit quicker, we would like to set a minimum offer to those impacted by the project, those parcels that one require TLE or PLE. We had set a minimum offer of $200 during the Webster Safe Road to School project, and I'm proposing that we do the same under this project. And Randy, you probably could provide them a little bit more information on how we go about.
So,
that's determined.
Randy, would you come up to the podium,
sure,
please?
Yeah. So the DOT requires that in any project where you may use eminent domain that you have a sales study done. So the appraiser, Steve Mann, is providing a sales study to determine what the value of the temporary easements are. They're generally going to fall in between 5 and 10% of what the fee value per square foot would be. So if you say the fee value would be $3 a square foot, then 5 to 10% of that would be the value of a temporary easement. The permanent easements might be a little bit more. They might be 50% or 90% of the fee value. But the reason to try and get to pay the owners, first of all, you need them to talk to you. Paying much less than that is just not a big incentive. You don't have a lot of time for this project. You're kind of in a period of time where we are going to hit the ground running at the beginning of August. And if we had to do any appraisals, the process requires that you do your appraisal and give them 60 days to respond with their own appraisal. If you don't reach a settlement at that point, it's another 20 days where we send out a jurisdictional offer saying, here's our final offer finally before going to condemnation. So you're 80 days in, probably 10 days to get a check cut and delivered to the quicker courts. And record an award of damages for whatever interest that we're purchasing. So, why $200? It's kind of just the standard right now that's being used around just about every community for a minimum temporary easement. Now, if you had some, portion of landscaping that you're removing that exceeds that, of course you're going to go over the $200. But it's a starting point to get your foot in the door, basically, and get the owners to sign the documents.
Okay. A question I asked at the Public Works meeting was, can we give residents the opportunity to take $0 for it?
Sure. They always have the right to donate.
Okay.
Not many do. But they
I'd like
I mean,
to give them the
do.
Opportunity.
I mean, some people are, their $200 means, very little to them, and they just don't.
Yeah.
But a surprisingly large amount pay the $200.
Okay. Any questions for Randy? Thank you, sir. I'll accept the motion on this item.
We'll keep the trend. Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve a nominal offer of $200 and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thanks for being here, Randy.
Yes.
Item 10, discussion action regarding amendment of Section 103-7, Brown County Sheriff's Department, Green Bay Metro Fire and Municipal Court Record of the Village of Ordinances. Trevor.
So, as the memo states, this amendment is fairly straightforward. It's just clarifying the keeping of records for traffic violations, keeping parking tickets. And the request was from the municipal judge. And again, pretty straightforward. If there's any questions.
Doesn't look like it. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
Oh, I'm sorry. And this item is mainly discussion, and the following item is actually the actionable ordinance.
Okay. So no action on this?
I think it is.
Okay. Moving on. 11. Action regarding 2021-03. Amending Section 103-7, Brown County Sheriff's Department, Green Bay Metro Fire and Municipal Court Record. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve Ordinance 2021-03.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Deutsch. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve the amendment to Ordinance 2021-03 and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 12, discussion regarding Bird Rides, Inc. electric scooters program.
So I sent you an email at the middle of last month just saying, as a heads up, that the City of Green Bay is moving forward with a pilot program with Bird scooters. If you're unfamiliar, these are like an electric motorized scooter that you can rent via an app. And this is you go to a lot of major metropolitan areas around the country. This is already a thing. And the City of Appleton has started a pilot program in the City of Green Bay. City of Green Bay notified us just as a courtesy, but then also as an encouragement to explore the program ourselves. I guess at this time, my recommendation would just be to see how it works for the City of Green Bay and explore possibly the option further at a future date. This picture was actually taken by myself earlier today. It's this house right behind us. So the scooters are equipped with a GPS tracking device, and they do set up a geofence, which will, when they get outside of the city limits, it slows down the scooter and then eventually stops. So hopefully it contains the scooters pretty well within the city limits. But as you can see, that's about where they stop. This was taken around 12:30 this afternoon. By the end of work day, it was already picked up. So I would expect to see more of these, but so far this is the only occurrence, and it was dealt with pretty quickly. So
that's not a citation on the scooter?
No, that's if you're able to zoom in, you can. It's just the logo.
Okay. Any comments, questions?
I would like to see how it goes after some of the other programs Green Bay has tried with ride sharing. I hope this one goes very, very well, but it'd be interesting.
Yeah, this is kind of from the planning world that I'm a part of. It's kind of a love or hate thing. So, they it's a great last mile mode of transportation in a lot of communities, but then there's also people that don't like it ends up on sidewalks, which, you know, they should be treated like bikes and be kept in the road or bike lanes and off sidewalks. Again, it's great, but there's pros and cons to it.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on, item 13, report update on nuisance properties, Mr. Fuller.
All right, so nuisance properties, we have one right now in the village. And those tenants, because it is a rental property, those tenants are expected to be out at the first of August. So potentially that nuisance property might go away. We'll see if they actually move. When I was talking to Mike, he did say that, honestly, we'd probably have more. So how you become a nuisance property, you have three violations that Mike has to go and address. But most of the times when he's talking to people, he talks to them, can either be addressed right away or he gets busy with other things and doesn't send out letters. So there are a couple other properties that are around two violations. We do expect maybe one for sure has received a third violation, so he will be sending out their nuisance citation later this week. But overall, we don't have a whole lot. I think if we were able to track these items easier, right now Mike has a notebook that he uses, and so that can be cumbersome because there's lots of different codes and lots of different properties tied to the village.
Didn't we purchase some software to make that whole life easier?
That is actually something that I want to bring forward next month's agenda.
But we did purchase some software, didn't we?
I believe 4 or 5 years ago we had some software, but it wasn't utilized by our previous code enforcement officers. Mike has embraced and is willing to learn that, and so we do want to explore that option again. And moving forward, it would be very valuable to not only track, but then for Kevin or myself to follow up on when Mike's not here, the front desk would be able to access and answer any questions if someone calls about a citation they received in the mail. So it would be really beneficial.
So we no longer have a license to the software?
That's correct.
Our current accounting software has the capabilities, and that's what we're looking into right now. What is that platform going to cost us to get associated with that?
Okay. When you bring that forward, I'd be interested to know what we paid for the software in the first place 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
That was
actually it was probably closer to 7 years ago.
Okay.
Or more, just before I was the administrator.
But we actually purchased a license of the software, right? So we should have a license to the software.
It did not get renewed.
Okay, yeah, I'd just like to know the specifics on that.
Okay.
You have different licensing terms in the software world. Some you purchase and then you pay a maintenance agreement annually.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have perpetual use license for the software.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a subscription model. So I'd just like to know what that is. Okay, any other questions? Any questions about nuisance properties?
I did receive a few other notes from Mike, if you're interested, regarding other code enforcement topics.
Sure.
Okay. The other one was just an update. Last year we implemented the storage and dumpster permitting process. And so to date we've received 39 permits for that. And we've only had to issue one citation. pretty good process. We will be looking at a future date, amending that ordinance, just tweaking it a little bit. We've learned some things in the past 8 months that we have that ordinance and looking at changing those. The other thing sort of pertains to the LeBron yard race. So since we've put in cameras as of last year, Mike is in charge of monitoring that site. And, a lot of times he's called to look at something when it's something really egregious, like dumping stone or that sort of thing. So to date, we've issued 16 citations in the past about 12 months. And those citations range from mostly illegal dumping, so again, stone or garbage or that sort of thing. There are a few trespassing, so those are typically accompanied with the illegal dumping, and the trespassing is for non-Holloway residents. One for lewd and lascivious behavior.
You don't need to go into detail.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'll leave that to your imagination. And then the other one was littering. Mike and I would like to welcome any board member the opportunity to ride along with Mike for 30 minutes to an hour, just so that you're not going to experience any high-speed chases or anything, but just to see what Mike is looking at when he's out in the community.
Good idea. Thanks. Sarah, did you have a question for Trevor?
Can you just clarify what nuisance falls under a little bit? Is it mostly rental properties or just violation of a dumpster in your yard or all of the above?
Yeah, so I'll use the one nuisance property that we have as an example. They had a failure to cut the grass twice, so we actually brought in a company to cut the grass once. They had a toilet in the front of their yard for an extended period of time, and then they've actually had several, and then they had two motor vehicle issues.
So is this complaints by neighbors or just by Mike driving around?
This one was this particular house was complaints by neighbors. The one that he will be issuing the nuisance citation later this week. That is a ongoing. It's a chronic nuisance property dating back a few years ago. So it's three strikes kind of policy within a 12-month period, followed by a calendar year. So.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I will thank you for that update. Item number 14. Is there anything my fellow trustees would like to see on a future agenda? Once you do all your homework on the pigeons, I'd like to know more. Item number 15. Do I have a motion to convene in the closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E? Deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. Trustee Harris, do I have a second? Trustee Deutsch, roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Deutsch.
Aye.
Thank you. We are in closed session. Thanks for joining us, folks. Nice to see you, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.